The new album from Mark Oliver Everett, also known as E, or as the band Eels, is a sprawling personal tale encompassing 33 songs on two discs called Blinking Lights and Other Revelations. E has always been a prolific writer, but this new album is a project with a theme, and it's one that he's been working on for a long time, often on his own, playing all the instruments. I ask E to tell me how the title song, Blinking Lights, began.
Well, I wrote the song Blinking Lights for me one night to comfort somebody that was close to me that was going through a hard time, and I was looking out my window and I saw this plane flying over the night sky, and I was thinking about people that were scared to fly, and I thought, well, wouldn't it be nice if that little light blinking on the wing was sending a Morse code signal that when you decoded it, it spelled out, don't worry, everything's going to be okay. Shortly after that, I was going to do all the music for a Wim Wenders film that I was also going to be the star of, and that never came about, as often happens in the film business. Shortly after that, I decided that I wanted to make a Blinking Lights album, that I liked the song enough to, I started to get this idea of it being like this big album about life and everything. But it wasn't until 2003 that it should be a double album, and that it really started to take the form that it's in now.
Well, you can do a version of Blinking Lights on acoustic.
Yeah. The song that started it all.
Da 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 da.
Blinking lights on the airplane wings, up above the trees. Blinking down a Morse code signal, especially for me. Ain't no rainbow in the sky in the middle of the night, but the signal's coming through. One day I will be alright again. Blinking lights on the highway cars, stopping one by one. Get a look at the accident, didn't see that one coming. And the doctor in the sky, gonna bring his chopper down. Gonna bring me out alive and set me on the ground once more again. Blinking lights on the airplane wings, up above the trees.
Blinking lights. Acoustic version of the song that began the magnum opus, Blinking Lights and Other Revelations. I don't mean to make so much of the size of this, because really what you've done, it's kind of surprising that you did do it in 33 songs. In that, it's a lifetime up to now, kind of in an album. And it also has a. If you look at the covers, you see pictures. I assume it's your mother on the front.
Yeah, as a young girl.
And I'm assuming that's just your father or your grandfather?
That's my great-grandfather. The kid there in the military suit is my father.
Oh, okay. What did your father do?
He was a physicist who invented the Everett's Many Worlds theory of parallel universes. It's that thing that's in like a lot of science fiction movies and Star Trek episodes and Twilight Zones, where anything that can happen in this world is happening in some world.
And he died when you were 19, I read.
That's right.
Yeah. I've read that you actually discovered more about your father by reading his writings than you did from actually knowing.
Well, not from reading his writings, but because that stuff's hard to understand.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't know if you were a physicist.
Yeah. No, I didn't inherit the math gene. But just from reading about him in magazines and books and things since he died, yeah. Because for the 18 or 19 years that I was in the same house with him, he said about three words. So I never really knew what he was like.
And my understanding is you're kind of a solitary worker yourself, and I'm wondering if that was part
of that. That's the great thing about getting older. Is that's how I was able to forgive him for the things that I saw as not great parenting or whatever. But then one day, no matter how hard you rebel, one day you look in the mirror and all of a sudden you see your father and you think, wow, how did you get here? And then I start to realize how much of him is inside me, and I start to understand him. And it's a great thing because it's like you're able to forgive and move on. It's nice.
And yeah, that's a good place to get to when one does get there. Another song in here you mentioned you could do, which seems kind of allegorical when you think of it. It's called Railroad Man, and it's kind of about. Tell us where this came from. Before I put words.
Well, I took a trip across America on the train. I figured, not many chances left. It's kind of dying as a travel form for the passengers in America. And I went all the way across America and back. And I noticed all these old guys still working on the trains, and they kind of struck me as men out of time, sort of. And I also noticed that I kind of identified with them in terms of how I was feeling in the American music industry, and the music industry at the time and still at the time now is going through so many changes, and nobody knows what's what and what's going to be anymore. And so I wrote this song for them and for me called Railroad Man.
How have you been able to keep your head above water in the music industry as it is now, to spend all the time you've had to on this?
Well, honestly, I can look back on my whole so-called career, and in one way, I'm really grateful. It's been like a miracle for me to have this to do, and it's to be able to treat my family and my life like an art project has really been like a miracle for me, and been the reason why I'm still here, I'm sure. But in business terms, I could also look at it as the most exhausting battle you can imagine. I see it as like there's not a lot of good choices for young artists now. If I was going to give anyone advice, it's sort of like the two choices are: you can either, if you're unlucky enough to have a strong vision and a strong idea of where you want to go and what you want to do and just see it through, you have to also be prepared for a very stressful life of daily battles that never end. And you have to be willing to not be everybody's best friend and to just really, let your songs be your best friend and try to protect them and all that. And then the other choice is to go along with what all the stupid ideas that everyone's going to be throwing at you every day. And that doesn't have a happy ending either, because by the end of that, you feel like you've lost your soul. So it's either work really hard or lose your soul. Those are the choices, kids.
Was it a good thing for you to have have a hit early on in your career? That whether or not it was representative, what certainly isn't representative of what you're doing now necessarily.
Well, that's another thing that you can look at two different ways. I mean, it's nice if it affords you the luxury to do more what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing of having a hit was very surprising and kind of surreal, and I was so busy at the time working on what I was doing next that I didn't ever really get to notice, what it was like to have a hit. But I did notice that everyone else around me seemed a lot more concerned with selling records and being a successful part of the whole kind of MTV culture. I just wasn't concerned with it, and I felt really it was kind of making me not like myself being part of it all. I just made a decision to just try to make the best records I could make and try to get to some sort of truth in the songs, and then to hell with the rest of it.
Which makes sense also. E is with us, and we were talking about Railroad Man. This all came out of that. Can you do a version of that?
Yeah, sure. Feel like an old railroad man riding out on the Blue Mountain Line, humming along old Dominion blues,
Not much to see, not much left to lose, and I know I can walk along the tracks. It may take a little longer, but I know how to find my way back. I feel like an old railroad man who's really tried the best that he can to make his life add up to something good. But this engine no longer burns on wood, and I guess I may never understand. The times that I live in are not made for a railroad man. An old railroad man getting on board at the end of an age. The station's empty and the whistle blows. Things are faster now and this train's just too slow. And I know I can walk along the tracks. It may take a little longer, but I know how to find my way back.
Version of Railroad Man that is also on Blinking Lights, the new one from Eels, and E is with us today. Mark Oliver Everett is doing some of the songs, and we get a chance to talk about them. Now that that song is kind of in there's a chronological in your life nature of this disc, and that's kind of in your childhood.
Not exactly. You know, at one point I was going to make this record a real kind of linear narrative, mm-hmm. of birth to death, but I decided kind of the breakthrough for me was that I was decided to make it. I started thinking in terms of films more than records, and mm-hmm. and I realized I didn't want it to be something that was so cerebral that I thought it was going to become too self-conscious that way. And I was thinking about the film 2001: A Space Odyssey, and how the really remarkable thing about that film was that it was made by a great intellectual, but he was really just trying to make something that wasn't so cerebral, that was just something to feel, and just asking you to just be there with it and not worry about following the linear storyline so much. And ironically, the first people that got the work of this great intellectual were all the stoned hippies, because they were the only ones that could just turn their brain off long enough to get it. But otherwise, people were walking out in droves. You know,
it's true. But you're also asking in today's soundbite download, world, even buy an album and put it on random shuffle, to listen to this much work, which actually does go together.
It's a tall order. I know.
Now what have you heard from people who have spent time with it?
Well, it's really been heartening. I was surprised, because I expected, it's really designed to be something that the first couple of times you listen to it, it's not really supposed to reveal itself. And stuff that I've seen about it in newspapers and stuff is, I'm surprised how many people did spend enough time with it to let that happen, because it's the kind of thing, if you got to write about it on a deadline, it's probably going to be a bad review.
What's your composing instrument, or is it a guitar?
Everything. I try to keep my basement set up with just a lot of different instruments that are all plugged in and tuned up and ready to go at any given notice. But I do try sometimes to, if I feel like I want to write a guitar song, sometimes I'll force myself to go over to the auto harp or the organ or something, because it's nice to get to something that, if you keep writing on the same instrument, you'll start to tend to put your hands where they feel comfortable. You got to create some discomfort to get somewhere new sometimes.
E is with us. Mark Oliver Everett is is the Eels, and Blinking Lights is the latest work. Do you want to do something else from this, or it's another tune?
Well, it's fun. The fun thing about going on tour for me is getting to revisit the old songs and try to get them right this time in my mind, because it's always like I can't stand to listen to the old records, because there's always I feel like, well, if I knew then what I know now, right. You know, because you're always learning. And so I always like to treat them like they're a brand new song. And sometimes I even write new lyrics to them and all that. But this is one that I like a lot from the last album, Shootin' Annie, that has turned out quite nice in the Eels with string settings. And I also like to play it just by myself like this.
I like a girl with a dirty mouth, someone that I can believe. We had a window not open too long, and that time is good and gone. And if I ever see her again, just walking by with some new guy, I know that we will need to pretend and hope our eyes keep telling lies. Sit on the back porch and wonder about her, what is she doing right now? Making somebody a happier man, dying her head back to brown. Once in a while your life gets so good, worth all the trouble of the past. Well, that was the case, but I think I always knew good things don't ever last. If I ever see again, just walking by with some new guy, I know that we will need and hope our eyes keep telling lies. I like a girl with a dirty mouth, know that I can trust her. We had our time, but it didn't last too long, and that time is good and gone. That time is good and gone. That time is good and gone.
He is with us today on the World Cafe, and that is the backpacker guitar version of A Dirty Girl, which you know from one of the interim albums while this new one, Broken Lights, was being made, the Shootin' Annie album. It's hard to call them interim albums because they're fully realized things that happen.
Yeah. I'd like to think so. Yeah, I don't like to pit any of them against each other.
Right.
I don't want to make Soul Jacker jealous because I say like Daisies of the Galaxy or something.
One thing that does lead to is how incredibly prolific you are. And do you say there are some that don't make the cut? But can you turn it off? I mean, can you stop writing? I mean, do you write when you're on tour? Do you? Does it ever become problematic?
It does become problematic, yeah. There'll be times when I'm sitting at home just trying to have a quiet evening watching TV or something, and, you know, inspiration strikes, and it happens so much sometimes that it does become sort of like a pain in the ass, you know, where you feel like, oh, man.
I got to write this.
Yeah, because then if I don't do it, it'll drive me crazy, you know, thinking of what I'm passing up maybe. You know?
Right. Ed, thanks a lot for coming by.
Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Thanks again to Mark Oliver Everett, our guest. The new Eels album is called Blinking Lights and Other Revelations, and it is available at our World Cafe CD store on your web browser at worldcafecds.com.